terms of your individual development.
As we discussed before, Krishna consciousness is not an excuse to hide from yourself. Hide from yourself behind so-called philosophy and theology. No, Krishna consciousness is very action-oriented. In fact, it is action, the essence of action. Action means that you are doing things, and things are happening to you. Now, you want to make sure all that's going on in the most productive way for your spiritual development. We don't want to take our eyes off the wheel while we're driving, you know, and have our heads caught up in something. I'm sure sometimes if you're driving a car, that may have happened sometime or another. You were preoccupied with some thought, and then you realize you're not paying attention to the road. Well, that can happen in Krishna consciousness also. We lose sight of the basic activities which give us our spiritual thrust and momentum, because our minds get preoccupied with some conceptions, some attitudes, and we lose sight of our environment, we lose sight of our goal, we lose sight of our spiritual self. The mind is very powerful, but it can really carry you away. Now we can begin to discuss all that, and in the coming days we can talk about it more. The point is that I'd like all of you to really be in touch with your life and where it's going. You want to sit down? And that means, first of all, you have to be in touch with what composes your life, what your life is made of. You have to look at your individual situation. For example, if you're a brahmachari, what is your life composed of? What are the elements of your life? Bachelor in waiting. What composes your life? What's the story? What are the ingredients of your life? Or if you're married, what makes up your life and where are those ingredients heading? If you're a single lady, a lady about to be married, what's going on in your life and what is the purpose of it all? In that way, I think you can easily see how Krishna consciousness is based solidly on reality. It is the essence of reality. If you're going to be for real, then you must be Krishna consciousness. Because you don't exist separately from Krishna. The problem is that in this world of illusion, we feel all right thinking of ourselves, conceiving of ourselves as an independent unit, shorn from the overall fabric of the Supreme. It's just me, you know, me and myself and my interests and my feelings, my goals, as if we exist separately. We define ourselves separately. It's not so. We're always in relation to the greater reality. Now, what is the nature of that greater reality? That greater reality is Krishna, the all-attractive, visible, pleasant. We are part of Krishna. Therefore, we have the pleasure-seeking capacity. Because we're part of Krishna. But our pleasure-seeking capacity in conditioned life is always frustrating. Because what does conditioned life mean? Who knows? Conditions. And that's what spoils your attempts for happiness. You're pursuing dryness in the middle of the lake. You plunge into the middle of the lake and you want to be dry. Similarly, if you plunge into this world of conditions and you're looking for happiness, all you're going to get is conditions. So what you call happiness in the material world is bound up in so many conditions that it'll never turn out to be real happiness. It'll simply turn out to be a ball of conditions. And sometimes these balls of conditions seem, well, that one's better than the other one, but still it's a ball of conditions. This is what's going on. Now if you're smart enough to see this, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. These are some things you want to be thinking about. And I know that all of you are thinking persons. So, if you seriously consider these points, you'll want to take Krishna consciousness very seriously. It is a fact that even if you don't take Krishna consciousness seriously, there'll be some benefit. There's no doubt about that. If you're just here for some time and then go, still you have eternally benefited. There's no doubt about that. Incalculably so, you benefit. But we want to discuss ultimate benefit. And you have to be interested in ultimate benefit because you are pleasure seekers. That is your propensity as part of Krishna. You're pleasure seekers. And you will not be satisfied until you contact the source of pleasure that doesn't diminish. The source of unconditional pleasure. So you may say, well, as long as I get a little happiness in my life, I don't mind. You may say that. You can't have everything. As long as I get a little something. You can say like that, but you know that you won't be satisfied with that. Now, why is that? You won't be satisfied with that because there's something in you that wants wants happiness that cannot wear out. You want ever fresh happiness. There's a hankering in you for that. So even if you compromise and say, oh, all right, if I'm just happy on Friday night, that'll be okay for the whole week. If I just have a nice Saturday night fever, that'll be okay for the whole week. If I just have a good time on my holiday or my vacation, that'll be enough. I don't mind enslaving the rest of the year. You may say like that, but it never turns out that way. Because there's something in you, with your spirit soul, that thirsts for ever-fresh pleasure. And you can't get that ever-fresh pleasure in the material world. Material life, not possible. So this is what's troubling your innards. What's troubling your insides is this thirst for ever-fresh pleasure, which is not being fulfilled in a world of conditions. And you just get tired sometimes of all these conditions that are impinging upon your happiness. Yes, I'll be happy if. But the list of gifts is so long, and your hopes are so fragile. Just try to think about it some days. How dependent you are on your quest for material gain, material happiness. Well, if this happens, then I'll be able to. And if this person does that, then I'll be able to do such. You're caught in a network of conditions. Therefore, spirit souls in material existence are called conditioned souls. They're drowning in the world of conditions. On Prabhupada's disappearance day, it's always wonderful to meditate on how he came to rescue us from the world of conditions, and therefore we can enter into real happiness. He offered two things. The teachings coming from Lord Krishna through the Super Succession, which will rescue you from conditions and establish you solidly in the real happiness at Krishna's lotus feet. He did not make up anything. He always said, not manufacturing anything. I'm just giving it to you as it is, coming down from Krishna. To be moved from the chain of the surface. I have no magic. Only that I'm giving you what is unconcocted. I was here in the 70s. I was always prime event of the year when Prabhupada would come.
Once, at least
once a year, often twice. And that was the peak of our life. See Srila Prabhupada sitting under the Vyasasana in the temple, giving his lectures, going on morning walks. Always he was concerned, how is Krishna consciousness spreading? He was never content to just relish Krishna consciousness for himself, nor was he going to allow his disciples to have that contentment. But that's actually not the full contentment of bhakti. The full contentment of bhakti is to bring others to Krishna's pleasure, to teach others how to render transcendental loving service. Whenever Prabhupada was here in Los Angeles, he was always beating this drum of expansion. Teach others Krishna consciousness, spread it all over the world. Now, what kind of vision did he have that pushed him in that way? What did he see? He saw a world of human beings who were squandering their human potential and heading for animal births. That's what he saw. He told us that on a morning walk. That when he was asked, what would be the destination of most human beings these days, after they give up their body, and he said, most of them will go into animal bodies. And this is what he could see. Try to understand the emotional reaction of someone who can see that, an impending disaster. It's like if you're standing on Venice Boulevard and you see a little child start to walk out in the middle of the street. You know what's going to happen, so you get this, oh my God, what is this kid doing? Oh, what to do? How to stop it? Just try to understand Srila Prabhupada's vision, who saw billions of people heading for animal bodies. Can you imagine what kind of vision that is? You're talking to people, this one, heading cats and dogs. But what does it really matter what they're doing now? They're going to lose their human consciousness. That is the vision of empowered devotee Krishna. And therefore, the compassion just flows forth. You want to do something to stop this. Often Prabhupada said, never mind if they come to Krishna consciousness and go. Still, whatever they've done will be their eternal asset and they'll be saved from an hell of a life. Of course, we want them to stay. We want them to get more than a human birth in the next life. We want them to go back home to God. What I'm trying to ask you to do is to try to gain some entrance into this compassion program. What did he see? Now, what do we see? If your vision is affected materially, when you see, you'll be seeing opportunities, potential opportunities for sense gratification, economic development. But do you actually see the destinations of these people? Because you don't see that, therefore, life can be very frivolous and wasted. You may think, well, I'm practicing Krishna consciousness now, and it's good for my self-fulfillment. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, kind of cool. And yeah, for a while, following the regular principles seems all right. You know, I had my fill of that stuff before for a while anyway. But you don't have an overall vision of the world around you, the reality around you, how people are heading for disaster. You don't see that. You're just feeling in your individual self that you need to escape from material distress, and you need to get into some internal development, do some inner work on yourself. Yes, isn't that what most of you feel? But when you come to Krishna consciousness, your vision starts to expand. And that was Srila Prabhupada's glory. That he could take the refugees from Kali Yuga and expand their vision so they would start to care for others. And he would tell them what is the fate of the others. He would let them see that through his vision. And then he would inspire them to have a heartfelt reaction. How can you allow this to happen? Any gentle person would try to stop this catastrophe. Anyone who had a heart would try to do something about this. That was his constant impetus. Anyone who had a heart, anyone who had a drop of compassion would try to do something. Therefore, he was constantly doing two things, teaching us what is the reality, where are people heading, what is their destination. He made us very destination conscious. And then, the other thing is, don't you feel for this? How can you just allow this to happen? Spread Krishna consciousness. Stop this mass slide of the animal species. I remember one morning walk where he said that. When you go down the animal species, not just one time, then you pop back up into the human version. No. You must become, for example, become a dog. You must become every type of dog. Become a cat, every type of cat. So the sun has set. That's when you lose your human form of life. You plunge into the darkness of lower consciousness, animal world. Now, if you can actually see, just like you know, you can see if you want to watch the sun go down and, you know, the city, you know, becomes dark. Similarly, through the eyes of knowledge, jnana chakshu, you can see people losing their human bodies and heading into animal. That is actually the actual reality. You may have some plants at home, and you can see, it's like this plant here, the tip is getting brown. Yes, or is that the way it's supposed to be?
No, it's good.
So you know, what does that mean?
It's lacking something.
Right. So, can you see that about yourself, though? That just like the plant grows and then fades away, similarly the human body grows and fades away. Now where will you be going next? Just like Veronica said, this plant is lacking something. Now what are we lacking? Many people say, I just need more personal growth. I need to do inner work on myself. But they don't know what nature is doing. They don't know how they're just being ground up in the processes of material nature. You can say, I need to do more inner work on myself. I need to develop my inner self, personal transformation. You may say like that, but it is of no use if you don't know anything about the processes of material nature in which your human form of life is embedded. You're dwelling within processes. Now, what are these processes doing to you? Prabhupada always tried to get us to be compassionate, to reach out, do something to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Don't let them destroy themselves and destroy the world in this way. Give them the highest knowledge. Give them contact with Krishna. The more you adopt this expansionary spirit, the more you'll understand what Krishna consciousness is. part of working on yourself in Krishna consciousness is to work on your ability to see the sufferings of others in their material life. That means to see their destinations according to their behavior, their going places. One problem is that with the spread of so-called New Age philosophy in the past 20 years, a notion has spread and even affects our devotees that, you know, human society is evolving. Everyone is like going one notch up on the spiritual ladder. In their next life, they're going to, the whole world is going to evolve to, you know, a higher level. Automatically, the universe is evolving, you know. And we're in the universe, so we're evolving with the universe. And so, yes, there's reincarnation. You know, we'll be humans again for sure. And probably in our next life, because the universe is evolving, we're going to have telepathic powers, and we're going to, you know, have all sorts of mystic powers, and clairvoyance, and, you know, metaphysical knowledge, because that's just the way it is, you know. Human life just evolves further and further, birth after birth, until, you know, bingo, or whatever. You've been through that, though? Kind of like going to, what is it, Baskin Robbins ice cream, 31 flavors ice cream, what is it? So, that sentiment has not adjusted the reality. The reality is that most people are heading towards animal births. Now, what are we going to do about that? We can't just stand idle and let that happen. We must try to help them. Just like if you see a child walking on a roof, walking toward the edge of the roof, you want to do something, to say something. Cry out, hey, hey! Try to get up on the roof and grab the kid. During the September 11th disasters, the news media was glorifying so many ordinary persons who became heroes that day, who overlooked their own well-being temporarily to care for others. But a devotee should always be like that every day. That's what Srila Prabhupada taught us. We are in an emergency situation. Now what can we do to make a difference? Srila Prabhupada was confident because he was giving exactly what Krishna gives. Therefore, a difference could be made. People would be rescued from horrible destinations in this life and the next. So he always had this expansionary spirit. Spread, go out, you know, do something. Rescue this world. He never had a defeatist attitude. Not possible. We're just so tiny. Who cares what we think? Never had that kind of attitude. Never. He had full realization that we're on Krishna's side. And that realization is not based on sentiment or fanaticism. It's based on solid knowledge. So we have the knowledge to back up our talks. Therefore, no problem. So all that's necessary is that we have this expansionary move, while of course taking care to transform ourselves. We've all heard before how we spoke about how Krishna consciousness involves two things: transformation of the self and distribution. After many decades, we understand that if you're going to go on successfully distributing, you have to be working on your own personal transformation. The two go hand in hand. So if we're seriously going to pursue the mission of Srila Prabhupada, we have to cleanse ourselves. Because in order to do this rescue work, we have to be pure. So, today I'm just remembering Chil Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasa Sahasrara, just lecture after lecture, just expanding from the heart. He would beat his drum, so to speak. Go out, go here, go there. Rescue these people. Give them contact with Krishna. Los Angeles was the main chakra for that. Prabhupada would beat his drum. I'm just a little man, but I'm beating my drum, and it's going out all over the world. It was here that he stressed. I personally heard him say this. Print and distribute my books in every language in the world. Automatically, Krishna consciousness will spread. Sometimes sometimes devotees don't like automatic statements. It's too simplistic. But Prabhupada gave us that gift. You just do this, automatically Krishna consciousness will spread. And as it spreads, now we know. We have to constantly adjust the quality of our life and the quality of the life of people we're dealing with. The spreading of Krishna consciousness means personalism. It means more personal relationships and a constant attempt to raise the quality of those personal relationships. That's the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. As it spreads far and wide, everyone becomes affected. And more people you're in contact with trying to improve their love of God. So this is what I'm thinking about. He was not fanatic. He was not sentimental. He had complete knowledge. And the conviction and determination that complete knowledge gives. It's a little hard these days, in times of religious fanaticism. It seems like it's difficult to present the absolute knowledge of Krishna consciousness. But we can tell anyone who has a better storehouse of knowledge of God. Who can explain God more scientifically? Make an objective analysis, comparison, you'll see. I remember once Prabhupada meeting with the Vyasa Sahasrara here. And he was talking about one book, popular book at that time, kind of pop psychology book, called I'm Okay, You're Okay. Remember that one? So, devotees had been telling Prabhupada about it. And so Prabhupada growing up in class, I heard there was one book, popular. I'm okay, you're okay. But that is not our vision. No. We say, we are okay, you are not. No, the only shy! Now, sometimes, people object that, this is a very judgmental statement. And does that mean that anyone who is Krishna conscious is automatically, anyone who's, in that room identifying themselves as a devotee is automatically some purified person? No, it doesn't. You have to understand that the problem. And anyone who's actually following his instructions, they are on one side. And those who are not following Krishna's instructions, they are on another side. It doesn't mean anybody just wraps themselves in devotional cloth. We're okay, you're not okay. It doesn't mean that at all. You've got to walk your talk. Still, it is a fact that even someone who has just a momentary contact with Krishna is more fortunate than anyone else. Mm. I remember Shilpa so concerned about the publication of his books. He walked through that building at the end of the road. The architect served him. And the building next to him existed now. And that's something else. And he went from room to room, office to office, to make sure that his books were conscientious. I remember Prabhupada walking into my office. The building is very dubious in my history. It doesn't seem like it was anything. Wow, this is a great honor to me. Graduated from such a such university. University. I remember all the time I was just looking at Prabhupada's feet. He saved me. I remember. After they introduced me to Prabhupada, I was just standing at his feet and listening to his education and stuff. I just remember Prabhupada looking me over. So, he was totally determined and convinced that he had what it takes to rescue the entire human civilization. I mean, the newspapers these days, if any of you, read the newspapers or watch TV, most of you must read it all, but if you're a household, just about to have part of it. Yes, devotees can. Should be aware of the news. People think the news are more basic things than the ones for. People are making a big deal about the determination of these fanatical Muslims, how they're convinced, the Taliban, that we have the law, we have the way, and they're so determined, they won't surrender, they'll fight to the finish, and nothing compared to Prabhupada's determination. And of course, Prabhupada, he had the knowledge, no fanaticism. That's why he spoke so much. Day after day after day, just to get the way to see. We have knowledge. This is not religious sentiment. This is not religious fanaticism. Use your brain. He's always shaking us. Wake up. Look, see, analyze. Take these books and see through them. You'll understand. Always shaking us. Not to just believe, but to apply Krishna consciousness and get the experience. Always shaking us. Such determination we never have seen in anyone else. You could see in Srila Prabhupada, he was just in this world for one purpose. And that wasn't for himself to be Krishna conscious. He was in this world to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. You could definitely see that. He was not in this world to get himself together. He was in this world to get everybody else together. And he kept such a pace in his advanced 70s that, those who traveled with him at that time, they were in their 20s, often early 20s. They couldn't keep up with him. And he was like 75 at that time. They couldn't keep up with him, his traveling pace. He'd go from continent to continent around the world. And his entourage of, young devotees in their early 20s, when they got to the next city, they just... Prabhupada would just, into action, It was amazing. So, this is the heart of someone who has the highest care and compassion. We don't want to make Krishna consciousness some kind of innate or amazing process where we're just going to think about me, and I'm just going to listen to you, and my own feelings, and lock out the rest of the world. No. Part of the Krishna consciousness vision for yourself is to see what's happening around you and how you can play a part for change. Don't make Krishna consciousness some kind of personal hobby. It is a way to see things as Krishna sees, see the destinations of people, see where they're headed. Now, what can you do to stop them? If you try to help stop their glide into the animal species, Krishna will recognize you. He's a chiropractor, so people are coming to him and they want to be snapped into shape. Yes. So you have a vision, you can see, just like he was telling me something about my spine. Well, it looks like the spine's got too much in it. You can see that. I just had an adjustment on the museum. I've done something. Vertebrae are out of position, one leg is half inch short. So someone who has eyes, they can see that. This and that, and snap back in shape. But the devotee can see that. Sure, as a chiropractor, you can tell how, because of people's bad posture, they're causing themselves problems. Well, what can you do? You know? What can you do? But people don't know. Nor do they care. But you can see that because of their present behavior, even though they don't care, they're going to cause themselves problems in the future. Such problems they wish they had cared. You can see that. But they don't see. No, I'm just sitting.
It doesn't matter how I sit. I'm comfortable. We're watching TV
with my remote in hand.
And a beer on the other hand.
Who cares for posture? I'm comfortable. But, Jonathan, you can see the repercussions. Like, you say you don't care, but in the future, you're going to cause yourself so much pain that you wish you would have cared. But then again, what happens in the future when they start suffering, they can't even see the cause of that suffering. It's like meat eaters can't see what this flesh is, eating flesh is doing to them. Sent me a message. So we're all going to such and such relative's house for Thanksgiving. Don't you wish you'd be there? Don't you wish you could be there? I know you really want that turkey. Don't you miss that white meat and dark meat? I know, all you can have is grains and vegetables and fruits. You know, that's the conception of Krishna Prasad is just grains and vegetables. They can never conceive of a feast like we had today. But that feast we had today compared to any rotten corpse Thanksgiving. No, they can't conceive of this is how we're eating. I know you really want to be there, but for religious dogma reasons, you have to restrain yourself. We'll be sitting at that table, the turkey drumsticks. passing the meat around the table?
Yeah.
Do you like dark meat or white meat?
And your family used to do that? They asked you, dark meat or white meat? Which part would you like? I'll take the leg. It's not to be gross. I'll take the breast. Oh, mother, please give me some with skin on it. Oh, thank you for asking, because I spent so much time doing something to the skin so it can be very crunchy.
No longer hard or the stomach.
So, they don't see that they're causing themselves problems with you. And then when the problems hit them, oh, how did this happen? Similarly, they don't see problems about their whole life. Not that we're just harping on vegetarianism. Actually, Prabhupada said many times, we're not into advocating vegetarianism as, it's not like our main thing. We're advocating Krishna Prasad. Where Prasad is there, offered food to Krishna. So he would enthuse us, like the greatest general, go out. Distribute this Krishna consciousness. We have to declare war on the illusory energy. Take this Krishna conscious lifestyle and be happy. He wanted devotees to be happy while distributing Krishna consciousness. Alright? Whatever ashram you're in, follow that ashram, be happy, live a wholesome life, distribute Krishna consciousness. He never said no one should marry. He never said everyone should marry. Take up a position in Krishna consciousness. Live it properly, be happy, and by distributing Krishna consciousness. I was living here at that time, and I had been unofficially the head of the BBC book production for about a year before that, and then again next year officially as well as being the head of the English department, final copy editor. So I had to coordinate the English department, proofreaders and indexers and editors, as well as the Sanskrit department. The Sanskrit department was also being in English in terms of the synonyms of the books. And I had to supervise the whole production process. So my hope was, I was even getting my travel reports. Yeah. Get them? Keep them all to yourself for this year. So, I told you how my hope was whoever is managing Prabhupada's book production, they get Prabhupada's personal association because he's so concerned about his books. So, if I just learn everything about the book production process, I'll be sure to have Prabhupada's personal association.
So,
that book, for example, this morning, Giriraj Maharaj was talking about this 10 candle volume of Prabhupada, how he's looking at it so lovely. It was very emotional for me because the first time I heard that was one of the books I produced. That was actually the first book I produced as official kind of book. Not officially, I've done the same thing. So this was my hope. All right. Prabhupada just started the 10th canto. Wow. This is the place to get all the way there. I would work all day at the BBT, and then the Sankirtan devotees would leave the airport, and then shower up, and they'd come to my room at 6 o'clock before our ticket at 7. And they would hear all the advanced manuscripts. Hear all the books before they were comers. And then we all go to Sundararti, huge Sundararti. Heard tapes of the dark. They went around live in New York. It was like thunderous. By the thunder. Because everyone went every night to the dark. Everyone was like a symphony. It was just everyone. We had to play with each other and dance next to each other. Well, that was my dream. He was Prabhupada through the 10 candles and the whole Bhagavad. Who knows what more would come after that? I entered Vaikuntha. And there were some questions about some things in this purport of the manuscript. So, then this 13th chapter, such a phenomenal chapter. We get to recognize that Prabhupada put even more of himself into the books. His medical condition. The doctor said an ordinary man, that's what he had, the physical condition of Prabhupada had. The doctor said an ordinary person would be constantly screaming out in pain. And here you have our Prabhupada in that condition dictating the purports of Vedic knowledge. And even making jokes. The four-headed Brahma, four-headed scientist, they cannot understand Krishna. Well, yet as I was reading that chapter, I felt suddenly my heart was gushing. See, for my whole life, years here in LA, I just lived just producing for all those books. We would really cook. Day after day, we'd just go from breakfast time to late in the evening, 7 days a week. I had a shift where I would, we just cook it for 19 days straight, and then I'd take a 2-day break in the beach. Because that's the 19th day, you could just scrape our brains off the wall. we just cooked it. It was all very intense brain work. Yeah, we were dealing with English editing, Sanskrit editing, the whole production process, how to make sure that, Prabhupada's words don't get lost, the mistakes don't creep into the books. It was like a constant intellectual battle. You just live for those books. learning from it, learning from it, learning from it, learning from it. And most of the time, they set for a super marathon. We go to the evening program. Sundarati. After Sundarati, there's always nectar devotion. 2 minutes or something. Missing book these days, nectar devotion. We used to read it every day, Esther Prabhupada's instructions. Every Gita class was fun, nectar devotion for 15 minutes. Some of us sit down in the shops for the child. And then you read a section of nectar devotion, and you go on to Bhagavad Gita. So day after day after day, this was our routine. I remember for 3 straight years when I was living in LA between 75 and 78, I rarely went off this block. I never knew anything about Los Angeles. Other than going to Hollywood Boulevard. That's where we went for Harinam, and we didn't go to the West Wing of the Hollywood Boulevard. Hollywood Boulevard was in better shape back then. The temple had a bus, an old school bus. Everybody piling bags of popcorn to go to Hollywood Boulevard. At night. Did you ever see us there? That's not the deal. What did you say? Blue ball?
No.
I'll be there when I'm older. just waiting for Al to get to the USA. He's there in Nicaragua, they're waiting for me, you know? I'm waiting for him. But anyway. So that was all I remember. Every once in a while, I'd go 2 blocks up the street on Venice Boulevard to a store. A couple times to Venice Beach. A couple times for morning walks with Prabhupada on Santa Monica, on high above the beach on those cliffs. Walk up. That's it. I never went anywhere. Just back and forth between that building at the end of the street here and the temple and to the building that's now. There's some other owners on the next to that building. That was it. That was our world. Occasionally, we want someone that comes to this place next door, you know, where we have maybe few kids. The Brahmachari, the Brahmachari building, that was just being constructed. So, we just were totally fixed on doing our part to spread the flood of love of Krishna. And it's true, just as now, people come and go. Similarly, back then, people came and went. Not just because Prabhupada was physically present on the planet and everyone stayed in Krishna consciousness and followed the process. No. People came, people left, just like now. People come, people go. It's just there were so many that you really didn't notice that. Now you notice. Such a such person that you. And back then it was just so many that it's the beginning of so many persons. After 19 days of this intense pace, I go to the Blue Beach for a couple of days. My health back then was bad. I didn't digest anything, had no energy. No, I was slump in a chair most of the day, on the phone together to the department, reading manuscripts. That was so bad. No one could bear with along with me. Back then we didn't know enough to, how to deal with our health. The alternative health movement wasn't around back then, so we just went to a conventional doctor. They put you through the lab test. Sorry, you don't know what you're doing. I remember this is funny. I was all like, I remember I went to the doctor, and my mother's a nurse, but well, maybe you got low blood sugar, you need a doctor's examination. I went to the doctor to get a complete examination. So there was this, like, yeah, here I was, a young brahmachari, 26 years old or something like that. Yeah, this brahmachari for 4 years and staunch. So then there was this kind of, the doctor had an assistant, a nurse in her 30s. And, you know, so she just kind of, she, you know, medical examination, she kind of, like, you know, took me to the examination room and just, okay, take everything off. Took it down to the back layer. Oh, I didn't. I was horrified. Young brahmachari, you know. I just never forget her. You know, just complete, you know, casual. Okay, take everything off. I had a heart attack. That's what I was doing. Take everything off, huh? So, yeah. So, okay, I took off my kurta. Okay. She kind of looked at me like, just kind of looked at her like, you're not asking for anything. I'll never forget that. It was like a real crisis, you know. What is this, you know? Because rarely did we, you know, go away from our service, you know. So we, you know, we're just so focused on getting these books out. So here I was interacting with this, you know, the doctor's office, and you know, I mean, yeah, she must have been, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years older than me, but just the casual and flaunt, you know.
Look,
we are the doctors.
Just
going to
turn everything
off. So, it was like that back in those days. We were just so focused on doing what we had to do for assisting Prabhupada that we just didn't think about the craziness of the material world. So, yes, I remember. He was so sick all the time. Now, looking back, I can see if we, you know, had more knowledge of how to deal with our health, we could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble. But we didn't have that knowledge back then. In fact, almost everybody had lacked that knowledge then because there was no alternative health. You just went to a conventional doctor and you did what he said. You know, you take these chemicals. The only thing we could have availed ourselves of probably was knowledge of exercise. I think at least they had that thing. I mean, but you can't say that Prabhupada didn't set an example. He went for morning walks every morning at such a brisk pace that the young guys in their 20s couldn't keep up with him. But we didn't. We just kind of didn't think about that. It just didn't click, you know? Every morning. He said his morning walks and his massages were keeping him alive in his 70s. But, you know, we just thought, we're young, we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. So he probably, you know, I don't know if you understand, but on his morning walks, it was hard to keep up with him. You know, young guys in their 20s, he was moving at such a pace for at least a half hour. Everyone's why you have to run to catch up to the party, because, you know, you had to stay with him, you had to move so fast. So, yes, if we had been more, if we'd opened our eyes to see what was actually going on, we would realize we need to exercise. That's a simple thing as exercise. It does something. But there was no alternative help, you know, herbs or this or that. The only thing we had back then was, and that actually did help me, was juice. California, we had the California juice group. You know. I mean, he still comes here. I saw him here today. Lakshmi Narayan. He was the, and Singheshwar, he's still the guest, yeah, they were the juice kings. Oh no, you did that. What time was that juice made? That juice was made more than 10 hours ago. Oh, it's lost all its potency. Oh, no, don't get such and such brand of juice. It's the juicers they use at that shop are, and their heat destroys the goodness of the juice. I mean, they're really into it. That's actually what brought me around, physically. I just started drinking lots of juice. I mean, it's California. You had to take advantage of whatever Krishna provided where you were. And California was juice, you know, the juice world. So every day I'd have like a quart of carrot juice, and another quart of apple, something else. And sometimes I go on 3-day juice fast, and that's what basically sort of brought me through. Because I had no digestion. In order to digest, I had to like drink juice after. Somehow I was after eating, otherwise it would just sit in my stomach. Let's sing Ace Ruby, he used to be the juice man. Yeah, because he's much better than the doctor, much more healthy than the stuff. He had all these basically tapered juice, but I could eat, you know, just eating steamed vegetables and, you know, chapatis with my butter and juice. So I woke up in the morning, juice. 3 times a day, juice. No energy. No one could say what was wrong with me. But still, we want to do our best for all of us present. We want to give ourselves. Today, I'm probably simply listening. You can get a glimpse of that expansionary spirit of wanting to give Krishna consciousness to others. We had no doubts that we have what it takes to turn human society around. Prabhupada left us with no doubts. He took on everybody, politicians, scientists, this, no one escaped. All fools are rascals. But then he would tell you why. He would explain so soundly and exhaustively why this is like, why they're all fools in the world. Misleading people, wasting their life, taking them into the animal species. There's a lot of people explaining why this is so. This is our heritage. All that disappears. Remember that heritage. He could see the destinations. He saw a huge catastrophe. Most of the 4 billion people on this planet heading toward animal births. Like I was reading in some report of a flight attendant for one of those planes that crashed into the World Trade Center. And she had a cell phone, and she was contacting somebody, the air controllers or somebody, trying to tell them, hey, you know, we've been hijacked, we don't know where we're going. And so the air control was asking, well, where are you? Give us some understanding where you are, because, you know, the pilot's not telling us anything. So where, what do you see? Look out the window, what do you see? So I see water. In other words, she saw the Hudson River, the World Trade Center. I see buildings. Oh my God! Oh my God! She saw the disaster coming upon her. Imagine if you were in her shoes and see the dead disaster looming right in front of you. I see buildings. Oh my God! Oh my God! Because at that moment she realized what was going to happen. Because before they didn't know what was going on, where they were heading, or anything. Similarly, Prabhupada could see the disaster looming in its effect. Gliding very comfortably, technological convenience towards the lower species. But just to try to understand the compassion he had to deal with that, what he saw. It's like, Dante, you can see when you can sit a certain way. what they're doing to themselves. But he can see that people act a certain way, and they lack certain knowledge, what they're doing to themselves. He's constantly rallying us, do something about it. Feel for these people. Fix yourself up and then help them. Not that Krishna consciousness means always just to gaze at your own navel. How do I feel today? Why am I here? No. He wanted you to look around you and see the disaster unfolding and then get yourself in shape, become qualified to do something about it. It's like, I'm not a chiropractor, so I can't help anybody. I'm not a trained chiropractor. Can do it. Chiropractor has training. Just simply, the devotees have to have training. They can actually do something to help properly. These are the thoughts that run through my mind. Feel for these people, their suffering, and then qualify yourself to do something about it. Make a sacrifice so that you can become qualified to help these people. If you care, you'll, just like someone will join the Red Cross, because they care, they want to, you know, learn techniques for helping people in emergency. Well, this is the spiritual Red Cross. You know, we're not like, you know, sentimental religionists, we're not fanatics. We have the topmost knowledge. Sometimes we always forget that. It's because people are afraid these days of anyone who says, you know, God says this, scriptures say that. We all are fanatic. But let us see if what the scriptures say. Let us analyze. What is God? Not that you just out of hand dismiss anyone who says you have knowledge coming from God. Doesn't automatically mean you're some kind of fanatic. You have to see if you have the goods, that's all. It's like Jonathan was looking at me, oh, your spine is fanatic. Oh, all these doctors, they always, I mean, all these medical people, alternative health, they always have an opinion. I've heard from so many herbalists and naturopaths and homeopaths, and they only have an opinion. How do I know? Maybe he has knowledge, so I have to see. Not just dismiss it. Oh, I've heard, you know, there's so many alternative therapists in California, there's probably more therapists than there are patients. Everybody's an alternative to this, an alternative to that. They give me an alternative to the alternative. Well, we have to see what he can do. But please think about this deeply and realize this experience. How we can do something good to these suffering people. Even if you don't see their suffering in this life, it is certainly not suffering in this life. They're actually suffering in this life. You can't see that. They're suffering in this life. You go around the world enough, you'll realize Americans have a unique dream world, especially California. There's no winter here, you know. Get a few water problems or electricity problems. Still electricity problem. I went somewhere that, and now they discovered a surplus of electricity. Who knows what's going on, you know? You know? So, you know, California, even before September 11th, go to New York and people, they know that, you know, that life is tough. You know, pride and fighting the tough things in life. But in California, you know, the living is easy. You can really just spend your whole life out of touch with your life. Unless you're fully engaged with your sister. If you have a chance to be fully engaged with your sister, you have the proper vision. That's what I like it. nothing like that. They're actually not intelligent. That's what we're asking the age of the industry. But speaking of the country as a whole, the U.S., there's no doubt. I spend most of my time overseas. And been that way for at least almost 25 years. So you can tell American tourists they just stick out in the crowd, like, you know. Right? In New Zealand, you don't tell American tourists? Not only that, but how they talk. Oh, how yeah. talking. Like they own the place. Yeah.
Herbert, let's go over here.
This looks very nice. What an interesting country this is. How quaint.
Herbert, quick, get your camera.
It's like on the plane over from Auckland, New Zealand. The whole batch of middle-aged American tourists, like a tourist group. You see them? You can just be there like another species, right? You know, New Zealanders are very quiet and subdued and like church mice. Yeah. Very reserved, you know. Huh? He's from the video games generation. But the Americans, they just come across very loud, like they own the place, you know, like the whole world exists for their pleasure, and no one else knows what they're doing. But if they, Prabhupada's point was, if the Americans would use this propensity for spreading Krishna consciousness, then they could save the whole world. Of course, for the material point. In terms of the American ego, New Yorkers are known to have the worst. The Run Survivor were discussing that the other day. New Yorkers don't even think, you know, they don't even have to think, well, are we the best or not? You know, it's no other thought, you know, it's New York, the Empire State, New York City, the city of every state, you know. I remember, I think I've told you before, when I was a new devotee, I first heard Prabhupada criticizing New York. It was a real test of faith, you know. Never before had I encountered New York compromise. But Prabhupada, he could just let him fly, you know. Oh, there's noise, sirens, fire engines all the time. Just go on and on. There's people living in such a stressed situation, and just go on and on, criticizing New York. And it was really tough for me. It was a new devotee. Wow, I mean, this place and Krishna consciousness here. It's fitting that Krishna consciousness is in New York because New York's the greatest, you know? I do not like that. New Yorkers are the greatest, you know? You know, it's good that Krishna is here, you know? Krishna is great, New York is great, all those together. And the problem in his lectures, he would just criticize New York like anything. So it's like, oh, am I in the right religion? What's going on here? One devotee, one of my godbrothers, even got so rattled by Prabhupada criticizing New York that he actually went to Prabhupada and said, well, Prabhupada, you know, I mean, you know, don't you know that New Yorkers think New York is the greatest place? Prabhupada just looked at him and wryly said, everyone thinks they're put together a whole bunch of burden is the best. So, in any case, Prabhupada always pleaded with his American devotees, do something wonderful. He said, what is the use of your being Americans unless you do something wonderful? He said, what is the use? Okay, you think you own the world, you want to lead the world, all right, do something wonderful, give it Krishna consciousness, instead of just Hollywood movies. That's the number two export. Number one in terms of cash is aircraft. Number two is Hollywood movies. That's what everybody else thinks about the USA, what they see on the movies. Like when Johnny landed at the Los Angeles airport, like Johnny, I guess, he's watching the people, you know, watching the customs, customs police, like that. What do you think? It was just like in the movies. There was one customs guy there who was actually his, he told me last time I came through that his mother used to be a devotee or something like that. Anyway, so, you know, he was just like, you know, he had to stop someone from cutting ahead in the line. So, you know, like, now, you just can't go to the head of the line like that. Everything in motion is like, really like, you're just going to have to. Johnny's watch going, like in the movies. What is this? A Johnny was thinking, is this a future rap singer or what? So that's what people think, you know, of the USA. You know, they just see the movies. And that's what they, you know. Like in New Zealand, we can always tell the heavy movie watchers, you know, the ones who are really into watching movies, because they always say gas instead of petrol. Yeah. You see, in British countries, people say petrol. But except for the young people who steadily watch American movies, they always say gas. Are you one of those who say those? Yeah. So, use your American talents for organizing and lording it over. Use that to spread Krishna consciousness. Then you'll be doing the right thing. So, helping out with that meditation. So, I'll be here till Thursday morning, then going to Mexico City until Monday evening. Be back here Monday evening until Friday, late morning, next week. To Brazil, Chile, Ecuador, Peru, Chile again, Argentina, then to London, then to Moscow, back to India, then to Asia, which will serve as busy. If anyone wants to see me, you know, don't panic if you don't catch me this week. You know, I will do that next week. But yeah, I should be able to see you this week. And yeah, we can have our meetings at night and we can discuss reality. Are we dealing with reality? Is our Krishna consciousness a good course? Good. Group process that we help one another not to hide from reality but feel reality. That is Krishna consciousness. Okay? Any questions? Can you open the door back there if you're so happy?
When
last chapter 10 canon. That Prabhupada did, chapter 13. Okay. Brahma stealing the cow
from us.
If the Tulsi leaves are put on Krishna's offer, if you ask the head pujari, deity worship technicality, but as far as I know about deity worship, when I was here in the 70s, I did a lot of deity worship. I'm thinking that you, that's all come, most things are accomplished tradition. Just like you don't put Tulsi plants, you know, by discussing the books with others, you get deeper insights by reading them yourself and then discussing them with others. You know, it's a lifetime process. You just go on and on and on like this. In Krishna consciousness, the means is the same as the end. You're serving Krishna in order to serve Krishna. You're chanting Hare Krishna in order to chant Hare Krishna. You're reading the books in order to read the books. Well, you know, get used to that. You're taking prasad in order to take prasad. You're serving Krishna in order to serve. It's just a question of your vision, you're asking to become purified. You have the spiritual life be with you. All right, we'll see you all what time tomorrow? Okay. I didn't just
So then it's February to start.